Welcome to the Revelation Church podcast. We are all about Jesus, knowing him and making him known. And we hope that this message will draw you closer to him.
Jesus, we want to thank you this morning for this wonderful message of what you've done for us. And Lord, as we continue in this series this year, looking at the person of the Holy Spirit, I'm so reminded this morning of this grace upon grace that you've given us. Just the wonderful grace of this world that we see around us, but this special grace of what your Son has done on the cross for us, chosen us. But more than that, Lord, you said you didn't leave us as orphans, but you sent your Holy Spirit to be with us. And that's just, it's a wonderful thing. And I just pray, Lord, as we look at this next gift of your Spirit exhortation, Lord, this morning, would our hearts be stirred, not because I've got clever words, and I definitely don't, but because your Holy Spirit just really moves amongst us this morning. Lord, I'm just really asking you for a real breakthrough in our hearts. This is something that maybe speaks against our culture, maybe challenges us personally in how we go about life, gets really to the heart of what it is to be a community, a people of God, a family of God. And Lord, as we look at this together, I just pray, let our hearts be challenged, Lord, to that this, as a body, Lord, we would be challenged to do something and go further in our relationship with you, Lord, but with one another. Please, I just pray that. Let our hearts be really open. Let us be open to challenge. Thank you. Amen. All right. So we've been in a series that started at the beginning of the year and is going to carry on, I think, to at least the end of this year. But I think it may go on beyond that. Looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. And I guess when you break that down, so we looked at, like, I think at the beginning, there's a bit on the Trinity, who the Holy Spirit is. And we're in a section looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So going through a number of each of those, who can remember some of those? What have we covered so far?
Hospitality.
That was recent. Good recent memory. Helps. Yep. Healing. Yeah. Even more recent.
Administration.
Speaking in tongues, fantastic, yeah. So these are the gifts of the Spirit that we've been looking at. And we've been looking in particular at two particular chapters, one in Corinthians and then this one in Romans. And this is where we're going to get to our gift of exhortation. So you can turn in your Bibles. We're going to jump around a bit in terms of the Bible verses today, but let's maybe read this one together. Let's turn to this and just be reminded of what it says. This is Romans 12, verse 3. For the first time, I'm going to wear my glasses. I wear my glasses for work and for reading. And just recently, just found reading. If the light's not really bright, it's quite hard to see. Anyway, Romans 12, verse 3. It says, gifts of grace in the ESV as a sort of chapter heading. It says, okay, if you've got there, you can just sort of follow along as I read. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, although many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Here we go, here's the key bit. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So we've looked at most of those already, but the one we're going to look at is exhortation. And I wonder if you've got a different, so I'm looking at the ESV, if you're looking at a different version, you've got like the NIV, maybe like a New Living Translation, you might see the word encouragement. Hands up if you've got encouragement in yours. Yeah, okay. And I find, like, I'm not one to be like, what's the Greek sort of thing? That's not really my go-to. But I do find it interesting because I think when you see a different translation, it's always quite helpful to go and see what it is originally, because it's obviously something that's trying to grapple and get to the heart of what a meaning is. because there's not necessarily an English word that really translates in the same way. You think like our language has certain words for things, and in other languages, there's lots, countless words for the same thing because there's subtle differences in meaning. So I do find it quite helpful to go and look at something like this. Why in particular is this called exhortation? Why am I focused on exhortation? So the Greek word behind this is, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but it says parakelio. Parakelio, made up of two parts. And I find this really helpful when you break it down because it gives you like a sense of what it is rather than just like an assumed meaning. So that first part, para, is probably quite simple to understand, right? We see that comes up a lot, parallel. You know, two lines together, parallel lines. A paragraph, two sections next to each other. I was thinking a parachute. It's like the chute is like hopefully next to you on the way down. Things that are next to each other. So there's things that are actually, you know, when you think about parallel lines, they're side by side. So that's the first part of this we want to think about, is things that are side by side. And then this word kaleo, parakaleo, is to call to or for someone. I think, Laura, you said, what does exhort mean? Well, there we go. That's what it means. It's to be by the side of someone and to call to them or for someone. To call to or for someone. And I found that really helpful to just look at because I think when I hear that explained, I think to call to or for, what it reminds me of is like growing up, it's like when your friends would come around your house and they'd say like, they'd knock on your door and be like, you know, whoever it was, like to mum or dad, like, can Brooke play out? Like, can you play out today? Like, if you've lived in, like, I don't know, inner city, like, that's what people, you come around your house, can they play out? And that's what struck me. So that's what I think of. It's like, that's the calling out part, right? Is to be by the side of someone, but you're calling out someone. Can you come and do this? Or an encouragement. And I think it's really key that we think about this because whether you think, when you think about, like, what it is to be by the side of someone and to call out, the reason why you've got maybe encouragement kind of as one of your translations versus, you know, exhortation is, I think there's a bit of a range here, yeah? I think there's like a softer end to this, which is sort of like comfort, to be a comforter to someone, to be by the side of someone. You can imagine like putting your arm around someone to encourage them. There's like a softly sort of approach to that. And then I think there's something in the middle which is slightly stronger, which is like almost an invitation or a bit of a challenge. You know, it's an encouragement, but it's like, come on, you've got this. You know, it's a little bit firmer. And then at the other end, it's like even stronger. It's like to beg or to like beseech, like, come on. It's much stronger. And in fact, it can be, there's like a legal thing we'll come on later too, but it's like, it's almost like a summons. It's like you're being called out formally. Come on, you need to come and do this. You know, if you're summoned for something, it's like, you better be there. So I just want us to think about that because I think when we read about a gift like this, you can really apply your own, probably your own personality. Am I a confrontational person? So naturally, when I think of calling something out, am I very direct? Sharon and I just, and the family, we've just been in India for like 3 weeks. And culturally, it's very different in terms of how you approach calling stuff out. It's very direct. Right? Like, and everything gets called out. Like, so you're sat having food, for example, and it's like, come on, have more, you've not eaten enough. Right? It's like very direct, right? Like, whereas here it's like, oh, you know, you wouldn't say that, oh, are you enjoying the food? Like, those sorts of questions. Culturally, it's very different. We're much more indirect. So when we hear exhortation to call out, the temptation will be to apply a little cultural lens and think, oh, yeah, that means having good friends and sort of calling things out in that kind of way. And I guess the challenge for us, if personality-wise you're not very confrontational, or culturally you're just very of that like sort of indirect sort of English, I say English, southern English, southeast England. My wife, Shreya, is northern, so she's got like Indian, northern. We have very different approaches in how we call things out. The challenge there, I guess, will be when you hear this, are you like, yeah, bam, I'm there, calling stuff out. The challenge will be, what does it look like at the other end? What does it look like to be a comforter? Yeah, what does it look like to do it? And we're going to come on to how we do it, but that's going to be the challenge for you. At the other end, for those of us who are more indirect, of which I would put myself in that camp, it's going to be harder. We might be really good at encouragement, praising stuff that's good, and that's wonderful. We need that. But it also comes with a challenge as well. when does that encouragement actually need to be tougher? Because actually what we're called to throughout the Bible is, you know, there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of promise of you follow Jesus, it's going to be hard. It's a narrow path. It's going to be really tough. Does that challenge or does that encouragement carry that person? Is it really of benefit? Is it exhort them when it's tough? And unfortunately, it's just going to be tough. Yeah, it's not just praising through. You know, we can be a bit good times, good vibes only, right? And actually, that's not what this is. There's a challenge to that culture and that way of thinking that's a little bit more direct. Yeah. So however we're reading it, I just think it's important to call it out. Whatever side we come on, whatever bias we're going to bring to this, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you and probably tug you on the bit that you find hard. Let that happen. Yeah, we want to be challenged, whether it's to be soft and gentle, or whether it's and patient with people, or whether it's actually, come on, where's the directness in your relationships? Where's the calling out to help people through hard times? So let's start with that. That's what exhortation is. Why does it matter, though? Why is it? And I think particularly when some of you hearing that, you think this is meant to be a gift, right? Prophecy and speaking in tongues, I get it. Like, it's a gift. It's really helpful. You might hear this and you think, oh, this doesn't feel like a gift. So I've got four things here. Why is this a gift? Why is this important? And the amazing thing is, and Bob said earlier, this gets called out a lot. We see it a lot, particularly in Paul's writing. When he writes, he does a lot of exhortation, but he talks about exhortation and the importance of it a lot. So this is really key. And I think if we miss the fact that it can be a blessing to us, we'll see this as like a hard, burdensome thing. No, let's remember, this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. This will do us good. Yeah, God only has good gifts for us. Yeah, so the point here is that we hear something that makes us go, wow, we need more of that. That would be wonderful. We need more of this gift. Not to shrink and think, oh no, I don't know about this, okay? So hopefully we hear some encouragement that challenges us in our thinking about whether this is a gift or not. So why does this matter? So the first one we're going to look at is just an unbelieving heart. So this matters for an unbelieving heart. And we're going to read from Hebrews 3 really quickly. Hebrews 3 verse 12. Is it Hebrews 3 verse 12? It is, yeah. Oh, I didn't mark that one. Okay. Glasses are going back on. Here we go. Hebrews 3, it says, doesn't look like it is Hebrews 3, 12. Ah, that's because I'm looking at 12. That's why I'm doing 12 verse 3. There we go. Thank you, whoever that was. Very helpful. Okay, here we go. Hebrews 3 verse 12. Thank you. Right, here we go. It says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So, unbelieving heart, people falling away, hardness of heart because of sin. So, the antidote here that Paul's talking about is this is going on amongst us. This is the challenge we face in our walk with God. Paul's encouragement here, how do we deal with that, is to exhort one another daily. That's how we deal with that. It's a tool for us. When we talk about it's a gift, wow, I think we will all know the hard and difficult walk with Jesus day to day, living it out. Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit to us is one another exhorting each other. That is what's going to help us stay on the path walking with Jesus. Yeah, it's a gift to one another. What a wonderful thing. So it's going to be hard. That's the promise. Actually, there's hardness of heart that will creep in. There's sin that's going to shape us. There's just unbelief. And I think we prayed last week, a wonderful sort of confession of unbelief that Steph led us in. Unbelief is a very real thing that we are challenged by day to day. Do I really believe this? Do I really believe this? We need one another to exhort us, to walk with us in that. So that's the first reason. This is a gift we need. Second one, we're going to turn to 2 Timothy 4, and it's verse 3 and 4. And Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, look, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, what a great phrase, having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. That's Paul writing 2,000 years. Doesn't that sound like today? I just think that's like, whoa, what YouTube preacher would I listen to make me feel better today? Yeah? Itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. I've missed the actual key bit. Verse 2, sorry, let me read that again. Preach the word, be ready in... This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And then he says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. So why again? Why are we exhorting? Well, I think the danger is we listen and we will go to where we get what we want. Yeah? The temptation with the truth and its toughness, and it does say to endure. What does it say? It says to endure. People will not endure sound teaching. It's not easy to listen to sound teaching and the truth. This is not easy. So the temptation is, I'll find easier things to listen to. Yeah, I'll go somewhere where I get something that just says, yeah, keep going, do whatever you want to do. And sound teaching says, no, God has given a way. It's the best way. Keep on, keep going. And I think the challenge here is to, you know, is to preach, but it's to listen to one another. And actually it's to know and to encourage. Like, we're not going to like the challenge, but actually it's the exhortation, it's the encouragement from one another that's going to keep us, right, I know this truth is hard, but I'm going to keep on going. We have to keep challenging one another with that. So that's the first one. So it's the exhortation, it's a counter to the temptation of unsound teaching, right? To the temptation of just other truths that come in. Third, Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Here we go. 23 to 25. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So it's spurring each other on. So the other two is like, warning, watch out for hard hearts, unbelief. Warning, there's unsound teaching we've got to come against. But also just encouragement to spur each other on to love and good works. We need each other to inspire each other to love and good works. To walk, it's not just, oh, I've got to avoid sin here. There's something, you know, we're about more than that, right? There's something wonderful being built in the church. But actually, it requires us to keep encouraging one another in those things. So actually, you know, that exhortation is, this is worth it. It's a call to faith, right? Like when it's hard, it's like, this is worth it. Keep going. Keep going. So without those gifts, it's going to be really hard. Without that gift of exhortation flowing amongst us, it's hard to walk with God. It's hard to do all that he has called us to do as a church. And like I said, you know, Jesus said the narrow is the gate and the path of following him. So it's going to be tough. He says, Jesus literally said, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. It's going to be tough. You're going to be persecuted for doing the right thing. Like, anyone that thinks, I got this, I can just crack on my own, like, you're going to fall into trouble. Jesus said, you know, the warning is there. Be amongst one another. Don't neglect to be amongst one another. We need this gift of, you know, exhortation, of power amongst us to see fruitful lives follow through with Jesus. It won't happen otherwise. So then practically, who, when, how should we exhort? So we've got all the questions today. So as we just read in that Hebrews 3:13, it says, encourage one another daily. So we're talking about gifts, and I will come on to, like, you know, well, do I have the gift of exhortation in that way? It does seem in this that, you know, There is a gift, and I think some of you will find, ah, I've got a particular gift, I move in this area. But I think there's a call for all of us. You know, the encouragement here throughout is, you know, we all have a responsibility to walk in this. And I guess the thing that we come back to in that is like, I'm not very confrontational, I can't do that. The truth is, it's not in our own strength. This is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. We have a great exhorter, the Holy Spirit, that dwells in us. And it says in John 14, 16, 17, Jesus said, this is so helpful, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, or you might say advocate, the Holy Spirit, to come to you. So Jesus ascends into heaven and he sends this great advocator for us. And this is the good news of what we're teaching today. This is the good news of grace that we've heard this morning. Because Jesus talks to his disciples about, look, you've got to love me and follow me and keep my commandments. And then in like the next part of what he's saying to his disciples is, by the way, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So I'm not going to be here with you, but I am sending someone who will dwell in you, the Holy Spirit. He's not left us alone. And this is the wonderful gospel of, you know, having grace upon grace of Jesus, who came to this earth, who walked with his friend, you know, 12 guys that he was, you know, in deep fellowship with, who he discipled personally, built amazing relationships. And you read, you know, go back and read the Gospels, you know, constant teaching and exhortation of those guys. And then, as we heard, died on the cross. They're in absolute hopelessness. But he rises again because he never sinned. He did no wrong. Death could not hold him. And then he says, guys, I'm going. You put your faith in me. I'm going to a place where I will prepare for you a room to spend with me in fellowship, in that same close friendship for eternity. And they think, wow, doesn't that sound amazing? What a wonderful gospel that is. But there's this period on earth. What am I going to do with that? He says, don't worry. I'm sending someone, a Holy Spirit, the helper who in you will do what I've been doing, teaching and advocating. Not just in a little corner of the Middle East, but across the world, my Holy Spirit, if you put your faith in me, you receive the Holy Spirit, wherever you are in the world, wherever you go, I will be with you. So we're not going to do this in our own strength. There is an exhorter who lives in us. What a wonderful privilege that is. And actually, going back to that Greek word, there's a word parakaleo, and the word it uses in that particular phrase, I think it's parakaletos, and it literally is like the advocator. It actually means when you're standing court and you can't defend yourself, you need someone who knows the court system to help you through the trial. And it's like the Holy Spirit is the helper, he's the advocator, he's the one who stands alongside you saying, don't listen to that. No, you're not accused of that. Remember what Jesus has done. Have you thought about encouraging this person? Have you, you know, these are the rules here. There's some wisdom for you. We've got the Holy Spirit helper who is constantly advocating. He knows the system. He knows the world. And he's with us all the time. What a wonderful thing that is. So we have an exhorter by God's grace who dwells in us. And so when we're talking about exhorting one another, it's not just, calling stuff out that we see. Actually, it's from a place of, we have Holy Spirit conviction ourselves and we move in that. So on the one hand, this is for everyone, for all of us. And I do, just quickly, I think there is a place for saying, well, I think there's a particular gift here for me. And I think if you go back and read throughout Paul's writings, you see that actually he always twins it with teaching. So in Titus 2:15, let's see if I can find that quickly. It's just worth reading. He says, Paul writes, so he's talking about, he gives this gospel message from verse 11. And then it's at the end, he says, you know, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one disregard you. It does seem like, you know, for Timothy and for Titus, Paul was writing with a real encouragement and conviction of, come on, teach the word, teach the scripture, and then in all authority, exhort, call stuff out. Know that you move in the Spirit. So I think these guys, you know, they had a particular gifting that Paul was calling out. So I think We think about, like, there's a call for all of us to exhort, but there will be, for some of us, you know, particular gift of probably teaching, of discernment. And twinned with that is, you know, I would encourage you, if you feel like, yeah, I think there's something of that, I would ask, you know, I would say, call for it, you know, ask God for an increased gift of exhortation to go with that. Because I think that's where, you know, we don't just teach, you know, there's sound doctrine and truth that is wonderful, and I think it's a gift in itself, and we've talked about that. But with that, it's really powerful when there's a, you know, the ability to call things out in this patient, encouraging, loving way. That's where, you know, the truth of what God's done really comes alive, not just in a general sense, but in the particular moments of people's lives. So just an encouragement, really, if you feel like stirring, like, yeah, this is something I think God has got for me, just to ask for an increase of that gift, which is available to all of us. So how do we give and receive exhortation? Great, we're doing all right. So really important, I said this thing about teaching, really important. You read Paul's letters, he always starts with really sound doctrine. So I just read this thing in a book I was reading recently on God's sovereignty, and it just says that there is value in scripture and truth for itself. And actually, when Paul writes, you know, he's got these letters to the Romans or to the church in Ephesus, you know, he starts with, you know, chapters of just doctrine, reminding them of the gospel truth of what we believe. Before he gets to, right, guys, this is what's going wrong, let's sort this out, this particular issue. It starts in real doctrine truth. And so I think when we're thinking about, well, how do we, you know, how do we grow in exhortation? Well, it starts with just growing in sound doctrine, reading the Bible, understanding what God has done for us. That's so important. If we neglect that, then we just start calling stuff out that's made up from our own heads. Yeah, it sounds good, but actually it's not God's plan. So there's that point, isn't there, where Jesus, you know, Jesus says, I'm going to go and die. And Peter says, no, that's not going to happen. Don't worry, God, we've got your back. And Jesus turns to him, his mate that he's been with all these years. He says, get behind me, Satan. No, you've not fixed your eyes on what God wants, on his plan. This is just your plan. So really important, actually, if we want to exalt and do it in a godly way, it starts with knowing what's in the scripture. Second thing, we've got to be saturated and honour the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is, again, it comes back to, do I really see this as a gift of the Holy Spirit? How do we honour that? How do we honour the fact that God wants to do this amongst us? It's about listening to what the Holy Spirit's got to say. So that's the second thing. Third thing, I think, I've said it's about listening, but I think fundamentally it's about love. I think Steph said last week, you know, in the Corinthians chapters on the gifts, what do you say, 12 and 14 is about the gifts, and in the middle is the chapter on love. It's so important. And actually listening to different people and understanding them, you can't do this well without that. That's why this word is to call out next to someone. You've got to be next to people. You've got to be in people's lives, standing next to them to be able to do this well. And actually, in 1 Timothy 5, I'm running out of time, so I won't turn there. 1 Timothy 5, in the first few verses, it talks about, you know, he's instructing, you know, Timothy's a young guy in a church, and he says, he's talked to him about, well, how do you handle some of the older guys in the church who are causing problems? And he says, look, with the old guys, you know, treat them as your father. You know, don't tell them off. You've got to encourage them. He says, you know, older women, treat them like your mum. He says, young women, young brothers, you know, these are brothers and sisters. There's a way to do this. There's a way in love that we call things out amongst us, yeah? So it's not carbon copy, this is the way that it works, this is how we do it. No, if you're not in relationship, it's almost like you don't get to call it out. You've got to be in relationship with people. Even when there's exhortation from the front when we're teaching, this is why it's so important you're part of a local church, right? It's like, how can you sit under the authority of someone teaching from the front if you don't feel like you're in, you know, the challenges of their lives? That's so important. So you listen to whoever on a podcast or whatever, great, it might have some sound teaching. You're going to struggle with the exhortation because they don't know you. Yeah, they've recorded something, or it's for a particular congregation. It wasn't necessarily meant for you. in where your walk is. So it's just really important to remember that we've got to be alongside each other. And then lastly, you've got to be courageous. I think there is courage. For some of us, it will take more courage than others. But in love, I think of something that Shrey always tells to our kids, which is, says, you know, when they're feeling shy, she'll say, you might be feeling shy, but actually being kind or loving trumps your shyness. So actually saying hello, making that person feel welcome in love, yeah, it requires a bit of courage from you. But actually we want to put love beyond how we feel. We want to put love above, oh, I'm a bit embarrassed to do this. Yeah, it's like, I'm so convicted by my love for you, I've got to encourage you in this or call this out. I have to, because I love you too much to just let my feelings of embarrassment go ahead of that. And then I just want to touch on this, and then we're going to get practical for 10 minutes, okay? With this gift, we don't often talk about how we receive the gift. So we've done a lot of gifts, right, on tongues. That was quite good because there was a bit about how we receive it as a congregation, right? Healing, maybe Steph touched on it a little bit on how we receive healing last week. I think this is one, this is a gift where we also need help in receiving it. Because culturally, that's something that's quite, can be quite hard. And I just wanted to call out a couple of sort of warnings here. How do we receive exhortations well? How do we receive encouragement or being called out on things that are harder to hear? Because the first way that we can respond is like, it's a criticism, not an exhortation. I'm being told off for something. And I think my challenge to that is, or the response to that is like, if you feel it as a criticism, then I would challenge you that you don't feel loved. Because I think when someone loves you, calls something out, you know that their intent for you is good. A criticism is like, this is wrong with you. An exhortation is, here's something that I would love you to get to. But you've got to really believe you are loved. So that's, I think, really important. And I think fundamentally, if we're going to grow in this as a church, we've got to really believe we love one another. So that might mean for some people, it's like, I'm hurt here. I don't really believe that. Wow. I would love to pray about that. That's something to talk about with others as well. But you've got to know I am loved in order to have the security to receive that. Second thing is there's always a chance to hear it with bias. So you might know you're loved, but actually you think, and I think this may be a challenge for us as a church, you know you're loved and secure. That's great. But you are able to kind of bucket off that exhortation or that challenge because you think you're not like me. You don't know what I'm going through or your circumstances are very different. You don't know what day-to-day life is like. So it's great that you think I could get there. I won't. You don't know me. You don't know my walk with Jesus. You don't know my family life. You don't know my circumstances. I can't afford that. That, I think, is a massive one. I think To know that someone loves you, but to kind of bucket it off, it's like that's the opposite of unity amongst us as a church. I don't think our love for one another is love, but you're different. And so the counter really is like, do we hear it in faith? And this is really important because it's the faith to say, this person loves me, but it's also the faith to say, the Holy Spirit lives in this person as well. And because they love Jesus and because the Holy Spirit lives in them, when they speak and they call or they challenge me or encourage me in things, it's not just, oh, their circumstances mean they're saying it this way or their class means they say it this way. But actually it's, no, the Spirit is alive in them. I've got to have faith that actually what they're speaking is God-given truth. It's the gift of exhortation at work. Not just someone with some good ideas, but they're a bit naive about me because they don't know me. No, God knows you. Yeah? The Holy Spirit is at work. We've got to believe the Holy Spirit is at work in each of us so that when we do that, when we challenge or encourage each other, the Holy Spirit is working out something. And God sees all. And he knows you better than you know yourself. So I just think there's a real step of faith needed here. Do we really love each other? Do I really believe the Holy Spirit is at work in one another and that without those people, I'm not going to make it on this walk in all the fruitfulness and purpose that God has for me. So what do we do about it? Side by side, deepen relationships. Open up your hearts and ears to others. What's God saying for them? But what are they saying that I can receive as well? And lastly, there's just, I think, this cultural challenge, I think, for some of us, which will be, how do we be direct? How do we just see the value and the gift of this and know that in love, this is a must for one another, that we are in need of this. We're in need of one another. And sometimes that means putting that ahead of how I feel or some of our indirectness culturally. So what I would love to do is just respond practically to this. We talked about two parts, right? One is being side by side with others, and then the other is to call stuff out. And I think for some of us, we might find the being side by side bit a bit of a challenge. And for some of us, it will be the, I've got friends, but I struggle with the being direct bit. What I would love for us to do, just with the last 5 minutes, is to respond in ones and twos. And we're just going to have a moment of sort of prayer and reflection. And then what I would love for us to do is just find someone. It could be twos, it could be threes. To go to someone in this room that maybe you've spent some time with. Maybe it's, I'm going to be a little bit brave. I don't know you super well, but I'm going to step out in faith here. And what I would love for us to do is just receive from God, like, God, who would you love me to encourage this morning? And we're going to go to that person and we're just going to share that encouragement. Now, I talked at the beginning about, like, at one end, you might have comfort and encouragement. You know, well done in this. God's really got something for you in this. You know, he's really using in this. Keep going. And at the other end, there's the kind of summons calling out, stop that. What I would encourage you in this setting, at least, is to be, let's practice being direct. Because I think we struggle even in that. The directness of praising and calling stuff out, even there. So we're going to just take a little baby step at the soft end, I would say, of doing this, yeah? And so for some of you, you might think, actually, even just going up to someone is going to be really hard. Just receive it in faith. Say, God, help me to do this. I would love to go and just say something to that person. Just a well done. I love serving with you. Whatever it may be. Yeah? But let's exercise that in faith and trust that God will start to do something in our hearts as we do it so that we can grow in it. Yeah? So I'm going to pray. Let's take the time to reflect and then we'll do that. We've just got a couple of minutes and then it'll be time to get the kids. Father God, we want to thank you this morning for this gift. Lord, I put my hands out and say, I want to receive this as a good gift this morning. That you have given me, given us brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers in this family that love me and are here for my good. And Lord, I just repent of sidelining particular views, of dismissing particular encouragements because I think, you don't know me, or you don't love me, you've not quite figured me out. Lord God, I just reject that. And I just want to declare, Lord, for those amongst us that love you and have been filled with the Spirit, we just know that what we have to bring to each other is not just our own personality and who we are, but the Spirit of the living God at work in us for our benefit and edification and building up. And we need it. We need it to walk with you. Lord, I just free us of just culturally individualism that says, I can do it on my own. No, God, we need one another. That's the way you've designed it. And Lord, in faith, we just accept that. And I just pray, Lord, as we just take a little step for some of us in encouragement and exhortation, would you let this grow amongst us as a people? Please do that. I just pray you would be depositing in people's hearts encouragement that is much needed for one another. Please do that, Lord.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to find out more about us and our vision for North Central London and beyond, visit our website, revelationchurch.org.uk. Or if you'd like to get in touch about something else, we'd love to hear from you. Just email hello@revelationchurch.org.uk.